Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Toilet.
And we are live.
Great.
We have the gang all here. This is Destiny Fox, and right beside me is my handsome husband, Michael.
Hello.
And we have Toby, who got his first tattoo over the weekend.
Now you're in the big boys club.
Yeah, well, he had their internet got unplugged. He sent me a message. Well, his wife did it. The internet got unplugged, so he'll be back in just a few minutes. And we've got the beautiful Jessica King with us.
I'm here.
And we have the dashing and daring Laura Mickey with us tonight. Laura, it's so good to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
I'm telling you.
Well, we talk on the phone, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, we've done a lot on.
We've done anything on social media or anything.
That's true.
And we've missed you so much. I was actually talking to Laura earlier today, and I told her what our topic was, and the ideas just kept rolling and rolling. So I thought, download Zoom. We want you on the show tonight to join in with us. And she said, okay. But
just
over the
weekend, Laura.
It is. So we had a blast over the weekend. Michael, myself, and Kobe went down to Ozark, Alabama last Friday night. And we set our vending booth up, put some stuff out, and finished it off the next day. And the Paracomic-Con was amazing. We were there all day on Saturday and Sunday, and we had a blast. It was so much fun. Big Ronnie came down Sunday and joined us and made a day out of it. We were glad that he came. He brought his wife, Deanna, with him, and we all just had a great time. We were right beside San Diego Cirillo, and he is something else. He really is.
I'll second that.
Funny, outgoing, not shy to take pictures with anyone. You know, he's just good. Sonia was right. Oh, I just touched Michael's tattoo, y'all. Michael got a new tattoo over the weekend, too. And that makes time number two. I've reached over and grabbed that tattoo.
Grease on your hand.
Yeah, I got that grease on my hands. But they both got fox tattoos. What a fitting tattoo. And, oh, man, Lee Triana Brown was there. Stan and Teresa Fikes and their crew did such an awesome job putting this together. It was just amazing. And Laura, they had a room upstairs full of haunted objects.
Oh, well.
The energy up there was insane. It's like each article threw off a whole different energy. It was amazing. I loved going up there, and I even touched a couple of things that were haunted objects. And oh my goodness, it was just amazing. But getting on with our show, our topic is paranormal myths. And what are paranormal myths? Laura, what's one of the ones that you mentioned today?
Well, one of the first ones I mentioned is, what was it?
About the demonologist?
Oh, yeah. Why?
I think it went a lot.
There's a myth out there that if you take a demonology course from whomever, that you're qualified as a demonologist. Trust me, people, that's a myth.
Oh, yeah, it's a myth.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm going to tell you something. Go ahead.
Destiny and I took one from two separate people, two different people. And, you know, I won't call no names here because they ain't paying me. But they don't pay me. Don't make money, don't make sense. But I fully intend that I got a good education. It was very comprehensive. And I learned a lot. But what I did learn was how unqualified I really was.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you realize that you don't have any practical experience.
Well, I actually do have practical experience and did before that.
Okay.
But it's just that when you become a demonologist, you have been through some stuff. And, you know, it takes years and years and years. And I don't know that you'd ever learn it all. So,
yeah,
you know,
I've been studying demonology for what, about 2.5, maybe 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's something every book I read, every article I read, it's just like, wow. You know, I'm learning something different every time. Not that I don't have a fantastic teacher. I do. I have one that has been hands-on in this stuff. And he knows. And he's very knowledgeable. But, you know, it's hard for one teacher to tell you everything. And there's so much more. And I'm fascinated at every new thing I learn.
But well, not to anybody's teacher.
Yeah, it takes more than just taking the course. I mean, you know, not everybody that takes a demonology course comes in contact with someone who's demon possessed. You know, it's just, you know, good to have that knowledge. At least if, you know, if you're talking to somebody and there's something you can add to the conversation, or to help somebody else, it's good to have that knowledge.
You know, it used to be a long time ago, people would, you know that there was something going on in their house, and they would just jump right to demon, when in fact, maybe only 1-2% were actually, you know, hauntings or, you know, problems that evolved around a demon.
You say a long time ago, but most of my clients that I've dealt with up here in the Northeast Georgia area really want to say immediately, I've got a demon in my house.
And yep. See, like, there goes another paranormal myth. Every haunting is not a demon.
Nope.
And Laura mentioned that earlier. You can ask Michael just about all the cases. Somewhere within the first paragraph has helped me. I have a demon in my house.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah. We hear it all the time from, you know, people calling us.
I mean, and it's all the same. Help me. Somebody needs to help me. I hope you guys can help me. I think I have a demon. Yep. You know, but the reason for this is because people who have never experienced anything paranormal, when they have something happen in their home, they immediately assume it's demonic.
Well, and a lot of religions teach that ghosts don't exist, and that the only thing that's like that on this earth is a demon. So people that are in those religions automatically jump directly to that because that's what they've been taught.
Yeah.
Right.
Then
there's so much demons in the paranormal.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it becomes a matter of the squeaky wheel gets more grease.
Sometimes. Right. And then sometimes the squeaky wheel gets put on a list.
Yeah. But with me, that's why when I go to a place, I don't want to know nothing about it. I've been with Destiny several times, and I just about tell her every time, which she pretty much knows now, don't tell me nothing.
Destiny's real good about that, too, like not giving us too much information so we can walk in and feel things for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there are some cases, though, that are different, and I won't. The whole team to know everything, especially if it's a real, if it seems like it's going to turn into a real negative case, I want the team to know as much as possible, you know, so they know to be looking over your shoulder, watch out for this, listen out for that. But for the most part, just a plain haunting, I like to test your skills and abilities. And there's been times in the past, other team members, especially Pam and Laura. And I hope Pam's listening tonight. I miss her so much. Pam and Laura,
I do too.
After an investigation, they'd say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And just to mess with them, I'd say, no, you know, we're close. You know, and then they had to know I was joking with them because most of the time they nailed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nailed it. But that's, I just like messing with them. I'd say, no, not even close. You know, just mess with them. But for the most part, anything negative, anything that Michael and I think could be demonic, we want the team to know everything.
Oh, yeah.
For safety reasons.
Yeah.
And then here's another.
When it comes to safety, you looking at safety bug over here.
Mm-hmm.
I watch everybody.
And yes, on investigations, Laura was always good because she made sure whatever team she was leading was safe in any situation. I mean, I've heard her call her two or three team members that she had in a group investigating. Y'all need to come over here to me now. Come over here where I am. I heard it with my ears. I saw it, you know. So, yeah, Laura's all about safety. Another myth, and we can get back to the subject of demons if you like. But another myth is ghosts only come out at night.
No, that one cracks me up.
That one always cracks me up because I have gone on a couple of residential investigations like during the afternoon and they're like, doesn't it need to be dark? I'm like, the ghosts don't care if it's dark. They're here whether it's dark or light. Like,
that's right.
They don't care. We can do it with the lights on or the lights off. It doesn't matter. The ghosts don't care.
Yeah, well, you know, ghosts don't have an alarm clock. They don't wait till a certain time to decide, oh, it's time to go to work.
It's just a little easier to detect at night because a lot of the ambient noise is not there anymore, whether it be cars or kids out playing or, you know, just whatever, you know, it's just a little easier to do at night.
But in Georgia, we have those god awful crickets.
Oh, I hate them things.
Try and listen to an EVP session with crickets in the background will drive you insane.
It does drive you insane.
But I'll have to hand it to Michael. He has mastered cutting out background noise on EVPs.
Oh, Michael's a true warrior when it comes to pulling the sound out.
Yes, he is. I mean, I can hear a little something in there. And first thing I do when I'm listening to EVPs is, Michael, come pull this out. I know there's something there. And he'll pull it right out. I mean, you can hear it on his day.
When he's looking at the sound waves, he's like, I think that's one right there. And he pulls it up, sure enough.
Yes. Like,
he looks at him and see him.
Of course, he's he's your technical person anyway. I mean, you know, if somebody had told me one time, I was trying to figure out something to get him for a gift one time. It was Christmas, I believe, and I was talking to a friend, and they were like, well, why don't you get Michael this? Why don't you get that? And I said, no, Michael's more of a gadget man. Any kind of gadget that works on a battery or plugs up, that's up his alley. He's a gadget man. Matter of fact, we're about to start making REM pods.
Nice.
So we're going to have our own REM pods, and we're going to be setting up our shop pretty soon. We're going to be selling different things from our shop to help with our expenses when we travel. And there's already been suggestions, you know, that we're going to be going a lot of places next year. And I'm excited about that, but it takes money to get there. So, you know, just a little something to bring some income in to help the team go from one place to the other. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, just because the paranormal is the realm of unexpected doesn't mean there isn't any explaining to do. Humans have always sought to give definition to the world around us and even the worlds that may be beyond us. And ghosts are not just going to come out at night. I saw an apparition broad open daylight. Michael and I lived in a house here in Carrollton on Hayes Mill Road. My sister had been telling me, hey, I see something out in that backyard all the time. And she would describe it. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. And so we kind of just brushed it off. And it would be in the daytime, she would say that she sees this thing in the backyard. Well, one day I'm home alone, and the house that we lived in, you had to go out the back door onto part of the carport. Beyond that was a screened-in porch that Michael and my sister actually made themselves. And so I went out the door. I went into the laundry room. I start a load of clothes, and I'm coming out, and right at the end of the carport, I catch this apparition. A lot of people say when they see apparitions, they're like gray or black, you know, your regular kind of black and white and grays. This was in full color, and if I had to describe it to you, it looked like Johnny Depp from one of the pirate movies at a glance. I mean, it had a bandana wrapped around his head. He had on a blue shirt that kind of looked sort of uniform-like. And then I just kept walking in the house, okay? So I'm like, okay, did I see that? And then I went back outside, and it was gone. But this was broad open daylight. It was, I remember it being cloudy, though, but it was daytime. Some shadow people that I've seen has been in the daytime. So ghosts don't only come out at night.
Matter of fact, that's one way to tell if somebody actually does have spirit in their home. If they tell you they only see it at night, chances are they're not seeing a spirit.
Right. You know, I think more people at nighttime, they're more settled down, more relaxed. You know, after a long day at work, you come home and you're trying to rest and relax. And it seems like that's when you start hearing things in your home.
Yeah.
Like in the daytime, people that stay home, they've got the kids during the day or they're cleaning house. They're not prone to notice these things. That doesn't mean it's not going on during the daytime. But at nighttime, everybody's relaxed and kids are in bed. Nobody's up but you. Hubby's already fell asleep and he's snoring. And there you are awake playing Monopoly Go or something like that. And then you start hearing these things. The cats start paying attention to something in the corner that you're wondering, okay, what's in that corner? You pay attention to things more. Well, at least that's what I think anyway, and another thing, Laura, that I've started with the team is we're starting investigations earlier in the evening than we used to.
Yeah.
I still wait till the time's right. I used to drive one of the team members crazy. She would be like, hey, we need to get busy now. We need to get this underway. And I'm like, no, I'm just waiting for the right time. And then, I don't know, just something would come over me and I'd be like, it's time. Let's go. But I have started doing the investigations earlier in the evening and trying to wrap up by midnight.
You know, a lot of people used to believe 3 a.m. was the magic hour for paranormal activity, which isn't true. I mean, really true anymore.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of demonic cases, 3 a.m., because 3 a.m. is a mockery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know I've been awakened at exactly 3 a.m. before and have strange feelings about me. But, come on. Anything can happen any time of the day or night. Anything can happen. So, no, I don't think that... ghosts just come out at night.
But what if the activity people are experiencing at night is not necessarily paranormal? What about extraterrestrial?
That's another thing, too.
Yes.
You know, Hollywood's painted this picture that aliens are little green men flying around in round, flying saucers. And, you know, all the reports that I've seen and everything I've read about their prey. What they've seen is great, which brings me to this. So we have a client that took some pictures in her home, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't really see nothing here. You know, kind of your basic bug orb or dust or, you know, maybe a real orb. But she sent me some pictures. And then I told Michael, I said, you know what? After looking at this picture, I'm thinking a whole different way on this case.
Yeah.
Actually, in the picture that she had taken, was exactly the thing in the picture looked exactly like how people portray extraterrestrials to looking like. This thing was gray. It's kind of poking its head out like, hey, I'm here. It's me. And it was gray and it had the huge black eyes. I mean, I looked at the picture for a minute and then I'm like, Michael, there may be something to this after all. The lady even says that things fly in the air and follow her. You know, a lot of people just brush that off. And sadly to say, I was one of those. But now I'm wondering, you know, could her haunting be extraterrestrial?
You know, that's a possibility that we need to look at. Extraterrestrial.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at things in a whole new light after seeing that photograph that she sent me. And I mean, it's not made up. It's legitimately a picture. Matter of fact, when I brought her attention to it, I had to actually circle it in the picture. I'm like, right here. And then she's like, oh, wow, I see that.
Yeah.
You know, number one, I like clients going around snapping pictures in their home all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kind of much in this case, I needed to see that picture.
Yeah. And speaking of the ETs, you know, one of the famous cases of a possible ET, or there's a theory out there about them that, you know, you remember when Mothman was around in West Virginia?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the men in black running around all over the little town, Point Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
There was a theory and a train of thought that they could possibly be aliens.
I'm going to tell you, Laura, I grew up in West Virginia, and the little church camp that my mother sent us to every summer was in Point Pleasant. Mm-hmm. There was something strange about that place. There was a weird feeling in Point Pleasant, and this was even in the 80s, so 20 years after Mothman, when we would get to Point Pleasant, the air felt weird.
I didn't believe it. I always wanted to go to the Mothman Festival.
Oh, it looks like a lot of fun.
Check it out.
But, you know, Point Pleasant was a site of a Revolutionary War battle. And I think that there was some blood loss there on that land, which left some residual around. But at that church camp, we would see it, and it would be day or night, just to be clear. Over on the hillside above the church camp, there was a man that would walk up there that wasn't even really there.
Hmm.
We would see it. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I don't put nothing. I mean, my thought is, I hope we are not too vain as a race of people on Earth to think we are the only things that could possibly be out here in this universe.
Well, I mean,
right.
God is a creator. It's his thing. So it would be ignorant of us to think, and even vain to think that we were his only creations.
Right.
He created angels. He created the heavens and the earth. Even in the Bible, UFOs are mentioned.
Yes, they are.
Ezekiel saw a wheel.
Yeah.
And around that wheel were lights.
You know, so are ghosts.
Absolutely.
Ghosts are mentioned in the Bible.
Yes, they are.
Several places.
Ghost dummies.
I've had people that were religious scholars tell me.
If ghosts don't exist, why would the disciples think when Jesus was walking to the boat on the water, why would they think, looking at it from a Christian view, why would they think Jesus was a ghost coming at them?
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I think a paranormal investigator needs to look at all possibilities.
I'm going to tell you, I've experienced some things. I've seen things, and some of this stuff, if I begin to tell everybody everything I've ever witnessed and everything I've ever felt in the paranormal, they would say, oh my God, there is no way you have seen these things. We were in a house once, and I saw, for some reason, I got brave, and I told Michael, and this is one reason I won't investigate in a basement anymore. I was in the basement of this house, and I mean, the creep factor was like 10 plus. And I'm sitting there in the chair, and I promised Michael I would stay so that the camera was on me at all times. And I looked forward in front of me, and there was like a little foot and a half or 2 foot tall little thing went running across the other end of the room, straight across there. The hair was sticking up straight on my head. I probably looked like, I felt like if it had really been sticking up and not just feeling like it was sticking up, I would have looked like one of those cartoon characters when they stuck their finger in a light socket. This thing ran across the bottom of that wall. You know, afterwards I'm thinking, okay, it was a rat. Okay. Had to be a big old rat. But it ran across like it had short legs. I mean, that running motion was just like a miniature person running across there. And it was fast, and I couldn't really put a visual on it to give you a full description. But I'm telling you, that thing was running across there on two legs. And so at that point, I decided, okay, that's enough for me. You know, there's all kind of things out there. And had I not seen it with my own eyes, hearing somebody else speak of this, I would say, oh, man, there's no way to tell the truth on that. But there's a lot out there, and yet still things yet to be discovered.
True.
And I want to be the one to discover something new, like some new cryptid or something. I just want to. I don't know. I'm talking like I'm addicted again. That'll get me in trouble. But I do. Yeah, I went through the paranormal addiction. Michael put me through therapy too. But no, seriously, if there's something else out there, I want to see it. I want to experience it. Of course, I'm not going to think to take a picture, but I'm going to get to see it.
Well, Well, I got another one if you want it.
Okay, what is it, Laura?
All cemeteries and graveyards are not haunted.
Yeah.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Not long after my mother passed away, I actually went out there. And in the state of, I had a nervous breakdown when my mother passed away. I don't know if y'all probably don't even know it. I mean, it hit me bad. Part of my family was actually in Port-au-Prince, Haiti at the time. And I, right after the funeral, they hopped on a plane and took off. And I was home with the kids. And, you know, I'm trying to juggle work. I'm trying to juggle the kids and making sure they're taken care of. And then dealing with the loss of my mother, I collapsed. Like one night, I had a friend of mine take me to the cemetery and it was raining. And we've got that red Georgia clay here. And before I knew it, I was clawing in the ground. You know, I was that distraught. And sometime later, I went back out there trying to gather evidence. Hey, my mother's here. You know, I know she's going to talk to me, but you guys know I'm smarter than this, but it was the emotions that took over and the heartache and the heartbreak. And it was just a bad time for me, but I went out hoping I could hear her voice or she could say, I'm okay. I'm right here. And this is where I'm going to be. Anytime you want to come see me, I go out there. There's nothing. Some years later, I went out with a K2 dead cemetery. I mean, that's a bad term to use, but
yeah.
I mean, nothing is out there. There is absolutely nothing. And then some cemeteries you go into, oh my Lord.
Question is, why would a cemetery be haunted?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I, so talking with someone that used to work in a funeral home, they had said that they have actually witnessed and seen spirits of the person laying in the coffin, actually looking at their self in the coffin, like trying to figure this thing out. Like, hey, I'm confused. There I am. I'm dead. Or what's going on with me? So, you know, I imagine they feel like they need to stay with their body if this is possible. You know, I don't know. But if cemeteries are haunted by human spirits, maybe they want to stay close to where their body is. I mean, I don't know. But I do know this. We've never investigated a cemetery that I felt comfortable in when there was any kind of activity going on. It seems like to me everything we've ever experienced going to one has always been negative. From Michael being attacked, to seeing snakes. If there's a snake in a cemetery and I'm out there, it's coming to me.
And I'm gone.
Absolutely. Well, what scared me the most about this one time is it was Youngblood, myself, and Chris, a friend of ours. And we were on the back side of the cemetery. And it's the cemetery we call the Blue Light Cemetery. Mm-hmm. And because you see blue lights out there. And I guess that's the reason that we go out there so much is because you see blue lights just popping up. And they absolutely look like those halogen headlights. Y'all passed cars before and the headlights look blue. Mm-hmm. That's what these blue lights look like. Well, we haven't been, Michael got attacked out there. We even have the SLS footage of the thing that attacked him. It comes out of nowhere, hits his head, and then poof, vanishes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a fan of investigating cemeteries anymore because I do feel like, you know, if a demon wanted to hang out somewhere, where would he go? Is the negative still out there just like, hey, I want to walk among the dead?
There is some people believe that that's where demons do go because people that go to cemeteries, a lot of times they're very emotionally distraught. So they're at a low point right there, and that makes it easier for a demon to get a doorway.
So basically, demons hang out in cemeteries for low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and then again, here's another thought too. There's so many people, kids, thrill seekers, you name it, are just plain stupid.
Right, stupid is it.
Yeah, that will go to a cemetery, and they'll vandalize the cemetery, and they'll set up and play with Ouija boards, and try to conjure things through spells, and this, that, and the other. And you don't know who you're calling, and you don't know who's going to show up. And, you know, honestly, if there's anything malevolent in a cemetery, I would say it would be because of that as well.
Well, I would say it definitely feeds it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Jessica, and Kobe, is a witness to this because he was with us. Matter of fact, it got so weird out there. I think Kobe made Jessica's daughter move and he got beside Jessica.
My 15-year-old daughter was with us on an adventure and it turned darker than we expected it to.
Well, we really did. And Laura, when you find out about this, please don't chastise me here on the podcast. You can call me later. We went to a cemetery where a murder-suicide had taken place. And we really didn't go with the intentions of investigating. I had some luminol.
We wanted to see if it would work.
We wanted to see if it would work.
Yeah.
Well, so happened. We just happened to have a couple of things in the car.
Because I never leave home without it.
Right. And so we were setting under the gazebo across from the cemetery. And Laura, I know you've already picked up on where we were.
Yep.
You can fuss at me about it later, but we went out there and yeah, there was already luminol already sprayed out there on
a pentagram.
Right. On the concrete slab, there was a pentagram. Looked like maybe it had been made out of wax.
It looked like wax and then had been scraped off, so like the oils from the wax had soaked into the concrete and you could still see where it was, but the wax wasn't really there anymore.
Yeah, it was grease.
Yeah.
It was embedded down in there. There is no cleaning. Well, probably a pressure washer could have got this off, but it would have took a pressure washer to clean this off. We're out there and we did not expect this to go so crazy. It got to the point where Jessica, her daughter, and Kobe are sitting down on the little bench, and Michael and I automatic go into defense mode.
I'm looking out the front, and they're looking out each side. Like, all three of us are on high alert. And Kobe's on high alert, and my daughter is sitting on the other side of him. And she leans over and asks to trade places. He says, "Are you kidding? I need your mama."
I started to get in your lap.
Well,
at that point, I was scared, so I didn't have any choice. I was going to sit in Jessica's lap one way or the other.
I'm glad you find me a safe place, Kobe. I think you're a pretty safe person,
there
too.
I would have been on one knee and Kobe on the other. But in all
he was nicer about it than I would have been.
All seriousness, I think Jessica had the app on her phone, the Necrophonic app.
I did.
And I believe it said he's coming.
They and just at that point, don't learn. It said they just don't learn.
Yes. And so we're out there. And I begin to sense and feel something coming from behind that building.
And darkness ensued.
It got so dark. You couldn't see nothing. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. All of us, and it got foggy too. And y'all know I'm scared of fog.
She's definitely scared of fog.
I'm scared of fog, thick fog. I saw a movie that traumatized me with fog. And ever since, you know, when I see fog, I'm expecting spirits to start coming out of the fog. And I read a book one time that was about fog, too. So I am scared of fog. I'll walk up and slap Satan in his face, but I'm scared of fog, y'all. So it got real foggy, and it was a rainy night. So the fog was nothing to do with paranormal. I want to believe that. So you could actually feel, and if I'm not mistaken, didn't we hear some footsteps coming up around the side?
Yeah. Alex reported hearing footsteps first and told Kobe.
Yep.
I mean, you could feel the thing getting closer. And if you could feel this, whatever it was, getting closer to us.
And it was the feeling of you're about to be attacked by a lion.
I don't know why. Don't go.
Yeah, we had a predator coming after us. A predator that we were not going to be able to see. And we were not equipped to handle it. So, you know, I said, or it might have been Michael, one of us said, or both of us said together, get in the car. It's time for us to go.
And Michael says,
I'm going to tell you something. The race was on.
Michael said, I think it's time for us to go. And me and you both said, yeah. And we were in the car, like, quick. And so then Destiny's finger.
Yes. So when we got in the car, my trigger finger on my right hand into my finger went numb. I could not feel it. I told Michael, I said, turn the light on. You look at my finger, something's wrong. And when we turned the light on the car, I kid you not, the end of my finger was dead. It was white. There was no blood circulation to the end of my finger. None.
It was white and it was cold.
Yes.
I touched it and it was cold.
I ain't got one thing to say to it. And that's all I'm going to say. If you feel convicted about doing it to begin with, you might not ought to do it.
I know.
So, but I ain't going to get over it.
And it's something I won't ever again. It's
some folks tell them and they'll listen. Some folks have to experience it.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Or when we left there.
And yeah, when we left there, it went with us.
And we were looking for hallowed ground. And after we finally found a place that was safe, that was hallowed ground, and we got out and we prayed.
Hey, Jessica, hang on a minute. Let's go back a minute. So the first thing, and Laura will make the connection to this, as we're leaving that little city, guess what came out of my mouth where we needed to go? The Methodist Church.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where these people attended church.
Yeah, that was their church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just spit it out. We need to get to the Methodist Church. Go to the Methodist Church.
I've been there.
Yeah. Well, I've been there too.
Well, I ain't been to the Methodist Church, but I've been to the cemetery.
Yeah, I've been to the Methodist Church too. I actually sung there before. But we made it up on the road that we live on. And there's a church right down the road, which was the closest hallowed ground that we could find. And I'm telling you something, we jumped out of that car and the five of us, Michael's playing with the SLS. Of us jumped out of that car because usually when we talk about paranormal stuff starts going on in our room. Stan's even reported hearing a little girl giggle while we're doing our podcast, and that doesn't surprise me.
That's kind of
why. Do you think that's the same little girl?
I think it is, Jessica. I think it is. But we jumped out of the car, we held hands, and we prayed. And then I taught the team a little grounding little thing, and we all grounded. And it took a while for the feeling to come back in my finger. The only thing that I can think of that might have happened, think about it. The one pulled the trigger and killed the other. Okay, think about it. If you've just shot somebody that's so close to you, somebody that you love, because of their life situation and knew the direction they were going to, and it wasn't going to be a good ending to this person's life, you pull the trigger, what are you going to do? You're probably going to freeze with your finger still squeezing the trigger or holding on to that gun so tight. That's the only thing I can figure out.
What I've been told, he was found with the gun in his hand. I went to school with that boy.
I wonder how long it would take, and this is going to be morbid, but for what you do for a living, it's really not that morbid of a question. I wonder how long after we're going to make this PG, ending one's life in that matter, would it take for the blood to drain out of your hand still holding the weapon? Or at least the tip of your finger.
And then you got to realize that this person probably was in shock from doing this and seeing this. It probably is pretty gruesome looking at someone that you've just shot. When you're not a murderer, this man was, a good man. This man was a good man in life. Depression.
Play a piano like an angel.
I've heard. And, just think about it. Probably the shock. I believe if I shot somebody, I would be standing there in shock myself and probably squeezing that gun with everything within me frozen. So that's the only thing I can think of that might have happened. There are medical conditions that could cause this because I did Google it. But the chances of me having a medical condition where the tips of your fingers or the ends of your toes actually go numb, the blood circulation is completely cut off, are very slim that it's going to happen in a situation like we were in.
And why only that one time and only that one finger?
It's never done it again. So if it were this particular type of medical problem that happened to me, why hasn't it done it again? Why did it never do it before? So just really something to think about. We've never had a positive experience ending an investigation in a cemetery.
Well, now I'll tell you my cemetery story. Some of y'all know that I used to live in South Georgia. And there was a cemetery down there that I promise you everything ain't laying down there. It was never a scary place to me. In fact, it was quite interesting. The gist of it was that the church building way back when was also used for all sorts of functions, including schoolhouse and county meetings, that sort of thing. And the tale was there was a teacher there, and some of the townsfolk thought that this person was teaching the children things of the occult. So they set fire to the church with the children and the teacher in it.
Oh my gosh.
And nobody survived. Well, the parents did not claim any of the children's bodies. They were all buried, supposedly, in a mass grave across the street in this cemetery. So was the teacher. And they put bricks all over his grave. A lot of people thought it was a female, but it's not. It's a the teacher was a male. But anyway, I went down there, me and two, three more, and there was this one tombstone that just kept speaking to me. I couldn't see anybody, but it just like, come over here. Come over here. Well, I got over there and I got to looking, and it was exactly 146 years prior that this man had passed away. I ain't gonna tell you what his name was, because then it might give you a clue about where the cemetery is and Everybody don't need to know that. But I made it my business that every time thereafter that I went to that cemetery, I would always stop by and see this man and talk to him. And I'd leave my stuff right there with him. And there used to be a woman that was at the back of that cemetery that would try to get you to come off in the woods with her. And now you can come on and talk to us, but no, we ain't going in the woods. And that got that. But I got where it was impossible to go down there and be safe, because now they've got the church fenced off with a big old high fence. You can't even go and look at it anymore. But the cemetery is still an active cemetery. People are still being buried there. So they can't fence it off. Well, you can't go in it. But it got so that last time we were down there, there was some guy parked behind the church. And he was selling drugs. And I really wasn't worried about the drug dealer, because he don't want no attention. He ain't going to bother you. But them that was coming down there would bother you. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people have been out investigating somewhere in an abandoned building or whatever, and some homeless folks or, you know, just some drug addicts or whatever come up and hurt the people and take their equipment and everything else. And we left that night. But not before we went by the sheriff's department to let them know what was going on down there. And they made a big raid down there, too, and I sure was glad. But I ain't never been back down there since. But that is a very active cemetery.
Right. We've been in plenty active cemeteries.
There's a couple of them out there where Destiny and Michael live that are just downright dark feeling when you drive past them.
Yes. Yes. There's one on a road that turns off mine. I never knew it was there. Then one day I remember just glancing over, driving down the road, and I saw it. And I stopped and got out. And I told Michael, I said, you know, I want us to go back. Let's go back out there tonight. And we did. And actually had a spirit, felt like a child spirit, wrap its arms around my legs. Then the feeling just faded away. And the next day, we're looking at my car, and it's dusty and dirty. And it was a black car, and it shows all manner of dirt on the black vehicle. We saw a child's handprints on the side of the car and on the window there. And then we started to leave. I went to reach down and to pick up one of our battery operated motion lights. And just as I went to reach for it, it went sailing across the cemetery.
That happened to me in Savannah too, remember, at the cemetery.
But with your cell phone. We were just, it was brought up in daylight. We were in Savannah. And we were in the Bonaventure Cemetery, which is amazing, the history. We're just walking down there. Michael's got his phone, I believe, in his left hand. I'm walking on his right, and all of a sudden, his cell phone just flew out of his hand.
Forward,
and landed about 5 or 6 feet in front of us. Mm. I'm standing there. I'm watching. Michael did not throw his cell phone.
Well, why would he? I mean,
no, he would. It went just flying out of his hand. Another myth: children do not see ghosts; just imaginary friends.
Oh yeah. How about the myth that ghosts can't follow you home?
Yeah, that is a myth.
They can. Well, a lot of people think, okay, so I go to this famous haunted location, and there's a spirit there. And every time I go, that same spirit's there. It's known to haunt this place. I get that. But I believe spirits can follow you home, because we've experienced that. It usually only lasts about 3 days. And then, I don't know, maybe there's a force that pulls and draws them back to where they were. I mean, I don't know how this works. I've never died before. I'll know one day, but I probably won't be able to share it with y'all if I go before y'all. But, you know, I don't understand it. We can do not every investigation, but some of them, and it's rare it happens, but it does happen. We have activity going on in our home exactly like we experienced in our client's home. One better than that, every time we get a call about a case and we're interviewing a client, everything that they tell us that they've experienced in their home to lead them to believe that their home might have a spirit starts happening in our house moments after the phone conversation. Moments. And just about every time. So now when we talk to a client, I'll tell Michael, okay, get ready. Yeah, I know, it's coming. And sure enough, just about every time.
Oh, yeah.
And another myth is, you know, a lot of people believe, you know, that we're like Ghostbusters on TV. We can't put a ghost in a box.
Well, I've never tried, but I'm not sure you could keep them there. I would like to experiment, and I've always wanted to make a Faraday box, a box with mirrors on the inside. And, you know, when you get a spirit out of a house, it's got to go somewhere. Just test it and see if it works. Michael just gave me a look, y'all. I did want to do that. I believe I can make one.
Well, you got to be careful how you say that, because the clients that think we're Ghostbusters are going to expect you to.
Well, we don't always do investigations where we have clients.
True.
So, you know, I would like to try out the theory. I've never really tried it out. But,
well, Ghostbusters, you know, they think about that. That's Hollywood Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's was it Bill Murray type Ghostbusters? They act like we're supposed to bring proton packs and come in there and rid their house of the spirits and take them out in a little metal box. And yeah, it's not like that. In fact, I believe that if ghosts can walk through doors, you're not going to be able to trap them in a wooden box.
Exactly.
We have been on investigations and take our equipment in and really not take everything, a DVR system and all this, and then we start bringing in two or three little cases, and they're like, is that it? Do you have some more out there? Well, no, this is it. So I think they do want to see the proton patch on their back. I'm telling you one thing.
That's the
proton pack on my back, I'll be the hottest paranormal investigator out there. Put on my boots. Yeah, let's get that ghost.
I have a friend in Virginia that's an investigator, and she had a client ask her one night, what are you going to put the spirit in to get him out of my house? She said, hold on a second. She went out to her car and got an empty coffee can.
Folgers or Maxwell House?
I'm not sure. She didn't tell me. It was probably chock full of nuts.
That's just irresponsibility, I think, of Hollywood and some of these ghost shows. Because, you know, and I put it really squarely on the ghost shows and their investigators, because they have a platform. They have a platform that you and I probably will never have, with millions and millions of people watching them.
Yeah.
And they need to be a little more responsible about things.
Well, you know, you've got people who want to see that. People who like watching paranormal shows, they like the demon in every house. They like the demon in every building. I mean, they crave that. That's what they want. And then you have the reality paranormal, you know. I understand people want entertainment. I really, really do. What we do is not for entertainment. We like to put out legit stuff that we catch. You know, we don't make stuff up. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. But, you know, there are people that look at it, hey, this is entertainment. You know, whether it's real or not, I like watching this.
But, you know, while we're sitting here and we're doing it to help people, I'm not going to lie and say that out of getting some evidence, like our most recent residential when we got that anomaly. Yeah. That was exciting.
Here to form our credibility. Where have I heard
we actually
before?
Have worked years to, you know, get our credibility in the field. You know, when we say something, people believe, you know, that we know what we're talking about.
We had a client that saw our equipment when we were investigating our house. So she decided that she called Michael on the phone trying to sweet talk him and offer him money to do a fake lie detector test.
Oh, Lord.
Because her husband could be tricked, she felt like, into thinking that this equipment that we set up was a lie detector test. And then the question that she wanted Michael to ask her, was she unfaithful when she was on vacation? And then she was to pass the lie detector test, and she was going to give him $500.
Lord, I wish
I turned it down.
Well, of course you did.
I got her $500, and then right up in the middle of it, I said, if you got to ask that question, then yeah, you done it.
Yeah, you give to Heifer. You know you did that. But, I mean, seriously, and we've been asked stupid stuff before to do things, and I told Michael, there's no way we can do that. You know, if she offered $5,000, there's no way we could do that because, you know, I don't want to ever get to that point where I feel like that's okay. It's for the money.
Mm-mm.
You know,
I actually quit collaborating with another group that made a fake Dybbuk box to sell it.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we do want to put the truth out there. Clients get mad at us when we
tell them
we had no experiences. We didn't get any EVPs. We got nothing over the spirit box. I mean, they get upset. Well, I know my house is haunted. You guys aren't real paranormal investigators, or you would have caught this. You would have caught, well, you know, we use the same equipment everybody else does, and we just didn't get anything. But, you know, it's not saying they don't have anything going on. It's just we happened to be there at a time when nothing happened.
That's why I always thought it was best not to charge for an investigation. Now, if somebody wants to donate, that's one thing. Donations are a lot different from me walking in the door saying, well, you're going to have to give me $1,000 for me to do this. Because if you give me $1,000, you're going to be expecting results.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I may not be able to give that to you. So, you know, my integrity is worth a little bit more than $1,000.
Right. We did an investigation once, and the client said, aren't you going to film this for TV? I'm like, what TV? No, we're not.
I had one messaging me about 10 times a day asking me when I was going to drop his video to YouTube because we had a body camera going during the whole investigation. That's not to put your stuff on YouTube, buddy. That's to protect ourselves.
Right. And Michael and I work with clients that's not, you know, that we don't involve the whole team in. Michael and I have been on investigations here recently where we didn't involve the team. It's just something that we went out and handled.
Usually they're private. They don't want their names released. They just want, you know, a very small.
They don't want multiple cars pulling in their yard. They don't want more than two people walking in because of the neighbors. Yeah. You know, and I get it. I get it. I understand. We've been known to take quite a few people at one time on certain, you know, there are those times when we've got a chat with all the team members in it, And, you know, it's rare it happens, but there's been times that the whole team's available to go. I'm like, who's available? You know, we've got this date. We need to do a private investigation. Who's available? Well, everybody's available.
Yeah.
You know, there are times we don't need everybody, and there are times we need everybody.
Yeah. There is times, you know, there's a lot of times we only need two or three people, and we usually like to hand pick, you know, the team depending on the case.
And we have individually called team members and said, hey, you know, Michael and I are going to a client's house, and we're going to do an investigation. You know, I want you to go with us. There's no need in involving the whole team. You know, there's been times just Michael, myself, and Kobe's went out. You know, a lot of times, and sometimes I don't even talk about it to the team members because I take that confidentiality. Please don't tell anybody about this. You know, please don't mention our name. Please don't mention our address. Please don't even mention what city you were in, kind of thing. And we don't. There's things that I've kept from team members because that's what clients requested. Please don't let this leave this house. Anything that I've told you, and by golly, I keep my word.
You know, this past weekend, you know, we attended the Deep South Pair Comic Con, and I had the privilege of Stan and Teresa Fikes asked me to lead up the investigation there. That we did was it Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
And it
and
was
I was
awesome.
In so much pain.
Destiny was hurting. Her back was killing her, and there was just enough people. I split it up into two groups, and I just want to mention Kobe Shine. I let him take a group. He was professional. He did an awesome job that night.
He really did. I was impressed with him.
Yeah.
Thank y'all. I enjoyed doing it.
You made us proud.
Even though I didn't get to participate and had to leave early. And then I was fine the next day. And then the next night it started all over again. I think it was standing all day and sitting all day at the con. But it is still a little painful, but not as bad.
And it was another Paracon that was one of the best we've attended. It was top notch. I just want to give a big shout out to Stan and Teresa Fikes. They did an awesome job putting this together. One of the best. They did an awesome job.
Yes, they did.
Well, we went a little bit over our hour. I think Stan even has another show coming up later on. I'm not sure. I know he has in the past. But it's been quite a show tonight, and I love talking about paranormal, and it shows. We try to stick to subject, but you know, we just have a little chat. That's what it's all about. We just love to chat with all you guys. Check out our page. Kobe, give them the information how they can find Fox Paranormal.
You can go to Facebook, Paranormal Fox. We have a TikTok, Michael and Destiny Fox. A lot of our investigations, portal sessions, things like that are on there. There's even some on their part. Be sure to go and like it. You can also like the Fox advertising. Advertise your lives, your shows, things like that. We'll be more than happy for that to happen. That way we can watch those lives and stuff too.
Awesome. We can barely hear you, but
Destiny will,
I heard enough.
I think Destiny will post the information too, so you know some people can find us.
Yes. And find Fox Paranormal on YouTube and go ahead and subscribe because we're going to start posting some video footage from our investigations there. We're going to be posting some evidence. Check us out on TikTok. It's a slow go, and we want 1,000 followers because then we can begin to go live from TikTok. We're really considering doing more lives from our Facebook page as well, talking all things paranormal. So, you know, keep following Fox Paranormal. We've got some great things planned ahead. Laura, it was so nice to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It was a blast. Jessica, as always, we love you.
Love you guys, too.
Kobe, we even love you.
Love y'all, too.
Just one more little shout-out real quick. Go ahead. Kobe and I went and got the team logo tattooed Sunday on our arms. Mine was in more detail, and we found out today that the gentleman that did mine and Kobe's tattoo passed away today. Oh. And, you know, our prayers and thoughts go out to any of his family and friends that, you know, are dealing with this loss. It's just hard to believe. You know, Sunday, he was working on my tattoo for my fox in my arm, and then I find out today that, you know, he's no longer with us.
Sad.
Oh, that's so sad.
Prayers and positive thoughts to the family and anybody Absolutely. Affected by this loss. He aced the tattoo. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. All right, guys, tune in next Thursday night, 7:00 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern time, and we will see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace and love.